Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dolphins had no reason to trade Jalen Ramsey other than they're sensitive. There's no leadership in the Dolphins organization. Mike McDaniels is a pushover. Chris Greer, the general manager, he has no backbone. These guys over here, the Miami Dolphins, They are running this team like a little league team. No one can stand up to the players. They're terrified of their own players, and they have no control over their players.
Tell us how you really feel, Asante Samuel Sr. Man, oh man, the pile on the Miami Dolphins is officially on. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyota of Hollywood. .com joining us as he always does here on Tuesday mornings on the show, Kyle Krabs. He is the host of Locked On Dolphins and Locked On NFL Scouting. Kyle, good morning, my friend. The Dolphins have turned into the media punching bag. No one is laying off this team right now. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's when you're down, you're down, and when you're up, you're up. And the Dolphins right now are down, and I think it's very easy to look at the face value of trading away Jalen Ramsey with the things that some players have said what they've left and be able to connect those dots. And I think the whole objective of moving on from a player like Ramsey is to try to take the first steps in facilitating some change in that regard. I don't agree with the idea that there was no reason other than we don't have a backbone here in South Florida, but it certainly... That conflict was spurred on by some of the problems that you had very well documented for the Dolphins over the last couple of years. And I think to change it, you can't just have guys that have been in the building that have been used to getting their way with you. You have to transition away from some of those players to help facilitate some change. And we'll see whether or not it happens.
So, Kyle, we spent a lot of time talking about Mike McDaniel this morning, and you obviously heard the comments there. And those are not the first comments of that nature. I tend to disagree with it. I've always thought Mike had an interesting approach, and I liked his approach of, you know, hey, you guys are pros. You know, you do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to be here to babysit you. I'm not going to be here to berate you. I just think the players have taken his kindness for weakness and have kind of, you know, dumped all over him here, and it just hasn't worked out because of that. But I don't hate his approach. Like, I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I think I go back to the comments that Lewis Riddick recently had. He did an interview with Marissa Myers from DolphinsTalk.com, and Lewis Riddick talked about how when you're the foundation of your roster is not necessarily players that you have brought in and built through the draft. So there's different expectations of the ways of doing things at the NFL level. And when you bring high-paid players in from here, there, and everywhere, and they've had different stops along the way, the universal buy-in and everybody moving in the same direction, you have guys that hear how you do things here, and you kind of thumb your nose at it, or you scoff at it, and, well, that's not how I did it when I became a successful player. So I think that really goes back to one of the roots of you can go about having a successful team and building a successful culture and program in a number of different ways. But with the way that the Dolphins with this leadership group have tried to do it, I think that's why you see them kind of transition to younger players and hungrier players that are veterans. And then you're getting back to a youth movement and building through drafts so that the guys that you're bringing in and the guys that you have brought in that have had successes, that reinforcement is, this is the way we do things here. Be on board. And, you know, I think that's the biggest blockade for Jalen Ramsey in any regard is the way that he's always done things individually. Well, he went to Jacksonville, and then he didn't like how Jacksonville went, so he decided he was going to facilitate leaving, and he left. And then he went to L.A., and he didn't like how things went there after they won the Super Bowl, so he facilitated leaving. And then he goes to Miami. So I think that's the thing for Mike is you got to have guys that buy in. Well, how do you do that? And I think at any level of building a football program, it goes back to bringing guys in and having everybody understand this is how we do it here.
Kyle, you cover this team as closely as anyone. You've been around Mike McDaniel. I also don't subscribe to the, you know, what was just said there too, that he's a pushover and, you know, no backbone and all that stuff. And everyone got to see, you know, the way that he addresses the team on Hard Knocks. And I just don't subscribe to that. Now, yes, does he give the players freedom to kind of operate on their own a little bit and that kind of stuff? Yes, he does. He allows them that. But I don't believe that he's just some pushover, that these guys walk all over. He's not Joe Philbin when he gets in front of the team and addresses them.
I've heard him get after his football team after training camp practices on more than one occasion, and the way in which you would hear Mike McDaniel talk at the podium or a press availability or see him from afar and maybe not assume that he does. And with all due respect to Asante Samuel, I missed the last time he was taking snaps for Mike McDaniel, so he would know anything about how Mike McDaniel really is. So I think it's very easy to just kind of pile on, and that this is not to dismiss that they haven't had their problems, right? But I think it's very easy to look at from afar and take the surface level dots and connect, and then look at how Mike looks and take some of the feedback that's been given and to make assumptions that are even grander than the things that are true that are problems around the Dolphins.
And as much as people want to dump on Mike McDaniel and his style, is there any room in today's professional sports, especially in the NFL, for there to be that fire and brimstone coach that really yells, screams, and, you know, kicks dust at people and have a successful team that will follow him?
I think there's a balance for everything, but I also look at how some of the old school coaches there and their tenures ended, and that includes, you know, the Bill Belichick stuff in New England, and he was notorious for that kind of stuff. And Stephon Gilmore just told recently joined a podcast that James White hosts and told a really funny story about the first time that he got picked out of a bunch, and Belichick jumped down his throat, and he was like, "I almost cried. It was horrible." I do think you are dealing with a little bit of a new age athlete and old school fans and traditionalists and older fans that know the Don Shula years probably just sit there and roll their eyes about that. And I get it, but it is the nature of the beast in today, and you need balance with everything. And I don't think the Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Don Shula style would really resonate with a lot of today's athletes. So I do think there is a middle ground that you have to walk, but you do have to hold the players accountable, and you do have to have an edge to you. And how much of that Mike McDaniel has and has not had is obviously the only people that really know that with great deal of confidence are the people in the building.
That's why we need you out at training camp, Kyle, because we're up there sitting with Joe and Bo and Prisco and and those guys, I hear how soft everything is and, you know, how tough it was in their day. That's why we need the youth movement, Kyle. We need guys like you around to keep those guys in line, man.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get down for about a week and a half this year, so excited for that opportunity. And I don't think I'm going to be able to change Joe or Bo's mind about the nature of training camp in 2 or 3 days versus what it is these days, but it is what it is.
Bo's a little more stubborn than Joe, but we'll get him to come around at some point, Kyle. I got to ask you, you got a new piece up here, A2ZSports.com. Cam Smith's Dolphins future could go 4 different directions. Tell us about that, Kyle.
Yeah, so the Dolphins have challenged Cam Smith pretty openly between Chris Greer saying literal verbatim, we can't hold his hand anymore and wait on him. They've kind of challenged him to grow up. And I see this going one of 4 different ways. I think the middle 2 outcomes are the most likely. The first one that was outlined was Cam Smith takes a big leap in year 3, and Mike McDaniel talked about his eye discipline and that allowing him to be in the right places and have his transitions better. And that would be a big leap based off what we've seen from Cam through 2 years. The middle 2, which I think are the most likely, is Cam continues to kind of be stuck amongst the pack, and the Dolphins sign a veteran corner and it pushes him down the totem pole. And now he's fighting for potentially a 3rd outside corner opportunity. Or he deals with the injury stuff like he did last year, right, where he had 2 separate stints on IR, and that was really what killed any momentum that he could have had for his 2nd season. And then the 4th, and it's the least likely, but depending on what happens with the other players, if they sign a veteran corner, and then if he ends up getting lapped by names like Storm Duck and Artie Burns is out in front of him, they do have a numbers crunch at corner. If Ethan Bonner has a bounce back season and he's got gassed up a little bit, Jason Marshall passes him as a rookie, you're going to have to do a roster cut. And I don't know that, you know, if Cam has a catastrophic camp, financially speaking, there are pathways in which you could maybe move on from Cam Smith. I don't think they cut him because he's a 2nd round pick going into year 3. But they've managed to find something for Noah Igbinoghene, you know, like a player-for-player swap. So if somebody sees Cam Smith, they like Cam Smith, they don't feel like they're going to make it a roster, and you could do a player-for-player swap something, I think that's the most long shot of the outcomes, but it is one that, you know, I just look at that cornerback room and say, man, like Cam, like 2nd-round pick status is only going to carry you so far. And you got a lot of competition if you're not going to be pushing for a starting role.
Who's another player on this Dolphins team that really needs to step up for this team to see some success this season?
I think about who they ended up tabbing as kind of the utility offensive lineman and Larry Borum. I think his fit with this team is really important because he has guard experience. I think he's going to get a chance to stick at tackle first. And Austin Jackson's coming off of a season-ending injury last year. And when the run game really died off, it was when Austin Jackson went out, and the replacement, the swing player, Kendall Lamb, was much more of a pass protector than he was a run blocker. And Larry, in that transition, he's a better run blocker and kind of that aggressive style of explode off the ball and, you know, a lot of displacement early in a rep. I think that's a better fit. But to have that utility player be somebody who fits the scheme and doesn't totally kill your run game, I think is another ancillary player who hopefully we don't have to see at all, but if you do, his fit makes him, I think, a really important piece.
Kyle Crabbs here with us. He's the host of the Locked On Dolphins and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, also A to Z Sports NFL. Kyle, you cover the league as well, and if you don't mind, I'm just curious, so we'll stick AFC East here. What are your thoughts on the rest of the teams in the division here? The Jets seem like there's a lot of question marks. The Pats seem like there's a lot of question marks. I guess the Bills are probably head and shoulders above the rest. But is it going to be a fight for 2nd place here? Because I don't know what to make of these teams. There have been a lot of changes with both of those teams, the Jets and the Patriots. What do you make of those 2 teams?
Yeah, I think that's the thing the Dolphins do have going for them is the direction and the leadership of the other 2 teams did change, where you have Rabel coming in New England in year 1 and Josh McDaniels at OC, and they are investing in the skill groups significantly. They're drafting running backs and wide receivers and signing Stephon Diggs. And it's a ton of new for that offense and Drake May. And the offensive line, despite they've made some investments and obviously made the investment of Will Campbell, there's still some unsettled spots there. Now, they spent more in free agency than anybody. They gave out the most guaranteed money in free agency. They had to overspend on a few players. And that's kind of the nature of the beast when you win 8 games in 2 years. And that's kind of where New England is at. Now, usually the team that spends that most in free agency, they do increase their win total by a significant amount on an annual basis. So I think New England's probably going to be floating around 500 would be my guess for them. Mm-hmm. And then the Jets, much more of kind of a foundational year with they got a good offensive line, but the defense, and that was the identity of the team, and now that's changing. Justin Fields, whole new coaching staff, whole new executive branch. I think they're going to have a little bit more of just a foundational year. So I do think Miami and New England, you know, if things go well for Miami this year, I would expect them to finish second in the division, and then you would need like a catastrophic season from Buffalo with a whole bunch of injuries to make things interesting in my mind. But that's kind of my expected pecking order right now.
So that would probably get you at the 9 or 10 wins, and I would ask you what you need to get to that, and I guess it really starts with, you know, first things first, your quarterback has to stay healthy, but the other thing that has to happen is, you know, offensively, Kyle, you got to get that offensive line going where you have some sort of running game, which would give a guy like Tyreek Hill an opportunity to have a bounce back year here for the Dolphins. And amazingly enough, they got his on the old Hard Rock app here. They got his receiving yards total 975.5, which I think Tyreek could do with one leg. But a lot's going to come down to that quarterback and offensive line.
Yeah, I think the whole season outlook for Miami, if you told me that the Dolphins got a 17-game stand out of Tua, I would say this team will have a winning record this year. Now, if he doesn't and how long he's gone, Zach Wilson, you're up, and it's somebody different every year. And nothing that's happened thus far has given you the confidence that backup quarterback play is going to yield even like a sufficient, not even a good, but a sufficient product. So it's the big mystery. It is the X factor of the season, but I do think they have enough pieces in place. I like what they did on the defensive front. I really like their front seven, and now the safety room with Minkah Fitzpatrick with these other guys that they brought in. I think that can be a good room, too. It's really the question at cornerback. It's the health of the edge guys, and it's the health of Tua. And if you get two out of those three things to go well, I think you are talking about a winning season for the Dolphins.
So that's the good side of things. The bad side of things, and the amount of people nationally that have weighed in on the Dolphins recently is kind of incredible here. We were playing Tom Pelissero the other day, and he said it too. And, you know, if things don't go well this season, that could be it for Tua and Mike and Chris. And, you know, Kyle, I don't see an 85-year-old Stephen Ross wanting to go through another 5-year rebuild. And that's what it would take, right? I mean, to blow the whole thing up and to go through all of that again is just not easy. But is that a reality here that you think could happen if things don't go well? If they win, let's say, you know, 6 or 7 games, do they blow the whole thing up? Like, how do you see the you know, other side of this thing going should it not get to a, you know, a 10 or 11 win season?
Yeah, I think that the nice thing about the way that this offseason played out is if you do have those bad lower band outcomes for Miami, I don't know that you have to blow everything up the way that you did in 2019 where – you had these really expensive pass rushers and they were older players and you had a bunch of deferred money on all these contracts. And the Tua contract is the big one to negotiate. And in March, his 2026 compensation did guarantee. So, you know, if he has another injury riddled season and they do make foundational changes, I don't think you have to tear the whole roster to shreds. And but it's the big picture conversations. It's, who's managing the roster, who's coaching the football team, and who's the quarterback. I think those are the three things, those are the three places that you look at. But I think the Dolphins, they've got a younger nucleus of offensive line. They just have infused between Chop Robinson and Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, a defensive line. They got some other players. Jordan Brooks is a young player that's just coming off his rookie contract when he signed in Miami to come over. Obviously, Jaylen Waddle. Devon Achane, like, you have pieces, and I think that's the big difference between now, if you have to make a hard pivot, and in 2018, 2019, is all of those best players you had were older, expensive, with deferred cap commitment players. So I wouldn't take anything off the table as far as what the outcomes could look like if the season does not go well, but I don't think you would see anything near the extreme, nor would be my expectation that it would have to be a five-year process, probably more of a two-year process and a pivot if they did have to make those kinds of changes. But you have to find a quarterback in that process as well.
I'll leave you on this one here. And, you know, Joe talked about this last week when he was here. And, you know, I feel it. And I'm curious what you feel. Joe said the Dolphin fan frustration is the highest he's ever felt it. And I know that Joe talks to fans all over the country. I know you do as well. Have fans, in your eyes, reached a boiling point here? Like, I mean, is this it? Like, because I don't know how much more they can take of mediocrity. It's year after year after year. Is the fan frustration at an all-time high in your eyes?
It feels like it, but I also don't have the wealth of experience that Joe has with the good times and the bad times. So it carries a lot of weight for me that Joe has that perception of where the fan base is at. But it feels like there's very few things other than, hey, wish we'd had a higher ceiling over the last couple of years, that's a consensus feeling amongst every fan. You know, everything seems to be polarizing as far as what everybody thinks the problems are, but everybody knows that there's been limitations and everybody has their own different opinions on how you go about fixing those things. And it's a very complicated ball of twine to try to unravel, and because it's so complicated, that's why I feel like a lot of fans really have that angst about it right now.
Well, we want to make sure fans know where to find you, Kyle, at Kyle Krabs on Twitter, A to Z Sports NFL, and of course the host of Locked On Dolphins, Locked On NFL Scouting, must listens and must watches for all of those there. Kyle, thank you for the time as always. Look forward to talking to you again next week, and I hope to see you soon in person.
That sounds great.
All right, Kyle Krabs, kind enough to join us here this morning, as he always does here on the show. We're going to take a pause. We have an anniversary here that we're going to celebrate, I guess, in a way here, Dan. We're going to celebrate this thing when we come back here on the show. It is the 15-year anniversary, if my math serves me correct, of something here today. So we'll get to that when we come back here on QAM.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
And this fall, man, this is very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Happy anniversary to the decision. July 8th, 2010 is when you heard those famous words there from LeBron James, the best basketball player of a generation here, man. And that was an event that I think a lot of us will never forget. I'm curious if you'd like to text in, by the way, 305-567-0560. I think that's one of those things where you remember where you were, man. I remember watching
My buddy was at that, by the way.
Was at the decision?
Yeah, because it was in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
At the Boys and Girls Club.
Nice. I just remember where we were at with that thing and, you know, calling everyone afterwards. And that was crazy, man. That was absolutely nuts.
Just think of the dimensional shift. That right there, that situation, how many lives, how many organizations, how many businesses, how many people's lives and just existence is totally different because of that moment right there.
There's no question. I guess it was 2 days later they did the thing at the arena, which was just so unbelievably bizarre. And I have pictures from, you know, from that. We were able to obviously go in the back, and you know, the players did a press conference and they held up their jerseys, and it was just weird, man. It was really, really weird because it was something you didn't think was like even remotely possible.
Right.
And then it started to, like, you started to hear some rumors, and you know, I think it was Stephen A. Smith at the time who had, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but I think it was Stephen A. who was like, he's going to Miami.
And didn't Chris Bosh come out the night before on TV like, I made my decision now?
Well, yeah,
come
Chris,
on,
I think, yeah, Chris
come
had already
on, LeBron.
Signed, yeah.
And he was kind of winking at the camera, yeah. And it was just surreal. It's hard to believe.
It really, unbelievable, man, that whole thing and the party and the not one, not two, not three, and the hatred towards that team. And I just remember how happy people were when they lost the first finals, right? And the Dallas came in and beat them, and that was a Dallas team that was on a mission. You know, they had been beaten back down here in 2006, right?
That's true.
Remember, you know, the Wade and Shaq championship that they won for the first championship for the Heat and Dwayne. They came back on a mission, and they took it to the Heat, and LeBron shrunk in that series, and he had those. We could do this, by the way. We could do this big three thing all day. You write a book about this thing. You remember LeBron had that.
Not four, not five, not six,
exactly.
Not seven.
LeBron had that comment after the finals where he was like, he essentially said, you guys have to go back to your crappy lives. I'm going to keep doing what I do. And
but
he,
I'll be honest, when
he
they
just
lost,
rubbed a lot of people the wrong way that first
he
year,
could,
man.
But when he lost that series to the Mavericks, you started wondering at the time, maybe he'll never win a championship. Is he ever going to win one? We thought, possibly.
Yeah, it felt that way. It definitely did. To the text, it asked if Joe was in. I think Joe might have been in the Bahamas. I don't know exactly where he was, but Joe missed it. Joe misses everything that happens. Joe missed, like, when Wade left. I think he missed when Wade came back. Like, he's missed everything.
Missed when the Panthers won the Stanley Cup.
Did he miss that last year? No.
First one. The first one. Me and you did the show the day after.
Oh, that's right. He did miss that.
Yeah. And
I
guess Dono.
He missed it this year too.
Yeah.
yeah, he misses everything big that happens in the dead of summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just the whole thing was so bizarre. And then, you know, so LeBron goes through the first year and then comes back the next year. And he's like, I'm gonna try to get back to, you know, just playing basketball and trying to enjoy myself a little bit here. And the second season was a lot more enjoyable. Remember, they got off to the rough start.
Yes.
They got off to a really bad start, and people were so happy.
It's not working.
I've never seen people in this country more united on something.
What's wrong?
That's what we need right now in this country, to be united. We need
another super team?
We need a team to hate. And man, oh man, was it Texter says Brian Windhorst made a living chasing LeBron around after the decision. Well, he actually
he was covering him.
Yeah, he covered him in high school
in Cleveland. He was he's an Ohio guy.
Windy got in early.
I like what you said.
No shots at Windhorst, by the way. I think he does a fantastic job. I happen to be a big Windhorst fan. I wasn't pointing at you. I was pointing at the screen. But I think he does a tremendous job. But not only that, but I remember Mike Wallace. Who
absolutely. He was with the Memphis Grizzlies.
He was working
Grizzlies
for one
now.
Of the papers. Memphis yeah, he's Grizzlies with the Grizzlies. Now. He was with one of the papers down here at the time, and they made that Heat Index thing on ESPN.com.
Yeah.
They had their own thing for the Heat on ESPN.
Yeah,
and he was the guy. He led that whole thing. People had their careers made. Dan, they threw me on a post game show. It was my first, you know, on air stuff here at QAM. And they let me do. They, you know, I came in. I said, "Hey, you know, you're gonna do a post game for this thing. It's pretty popular." I go, "Yeah, absolutely. You want to do it?" So it helped everyone.
Yeah,
it helped everyone. You got a business around the arena. I'm guessing it went pretty well for you. But it was just absolutely insane that that whole thing. You remember when LeBron bumped Spoelstra? Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. I remember all of it,
but
man.
The tectonic shift in the but just to give you an idea of the sheer magnitude of it, you were saying about this the other day. What was it like to go to a Heat home game against Utah on a Tuesday night in the middle of the season?
Yeah, it was. I mean, tickets were you couldn't get them. You couldn't get in cheap. They didn't have cheapies. Those years.
You said it was just a huge event, a Tuesday night against Utah, yeah. 40 games into the season.
Now,
huge.
Nowadays, you know, you could get in, right? They have tickets available if you want to go see a Heat game. You weren't getting in.
Wow.
It was an impossible ticket. But, hey, man, it was worth it. That was as good a show in sports as you will ever see. And I think a lot of people kind of missed a lot of it because they were so busy just being miserable and hating. And
imagine going to college in the state of Ohio when he left. Anyways, that was me.
Yeah. So anyway, that was 15 years ago. The decision with LeBron and coming down here, and that's why I told you yesterday the Heat have done this to themselves here. People are frustrated with the Heat. It's because of that. Like you have set the standard. And the Heat are one of the best organizations in all of professional sports, and people hold them to a high standard. And I do think they will find a way to work themselves out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answers, Dan, but they don't pay me a huge salary to figure that out. I think the Heat have people in place that can do that, and hopefully they will sooner rather than later. All right, we're going to take a pause. By the way, Texas said that they're ripping in on the Dolphins again. I saw we have the TVs on here. We don't have the sound, obviously, but I saw they were ripping the Dolphins on Good Morning Football this morning, and they were playing the Asante Samuel clip, and we can play that again if people want to hear it. But man, oh man, they are really going in on the Dolphins right now. The Dolphins are the new punching bag of the NFL. We'll take a pause. More to come on QAM.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on the Joe Rose Show, Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz, Dan Day, Blake with us, Trevor also. Today the 15th.
I pulled my best Joe coming back late there. I was talking to Julie in the hallway there. Everyone with their horror stories about moving. I just finished moving, and man, it is difficult. And I've gone from a condo to a house, and it is. It's a lot more than I could have imagined.
You know, I lived that nomad lifestyle where there was a time in my life, and hopefully that time has passed, where every year I would move. Just, you know, get a new roommate or get a better contract. And if you think, you know, you do it every year, you should be fine. Still.
The best living experience of my life was, so during all this, we've been all over the place. We lived in this, like, hotel for, like, 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
Right? they had free breakfast to give you an idea of the level of hotel. I loved it, man. It was just awesome.
If you could live in a hotel.
You don't have to do anything.
I mean, they make your bed, they clean your room, you got
like a pool. $100 a night, it's not a bad way to live.
I know. If you got the money.
With what it costs to live down here, it actually isn't terrible when you think about it. I love the free breakfast, although they never mixed it up. It was the same food every single day.
Now, when did it get old, though? After like a week?
No, it didn't.
I'm talking about the food. The breakfast.
Oh, the food was. I mean, you know, it's the powdered eggs and the.
I still like it, man.
The mass-produced meats.
I still like it though.
I'm not a huge breakfast. You know, because of these hours, I don't eat breakfast.
No.
And everyone tells me how unhealthy that is and whatever. And I'm on this new diet, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed. I've just been very stressed out from the whole move and everything.
That's a good diet.
So I've just kind of like put eating on the back burner. So that's my new diet plan here. But we got a lot of texts coming in here. No one cares about that. We got a lot of texts coming in about the Dolphins. And it is just kind of funny that they have turned into such a punching bag for the national media. I mean, we played Tom Pelissero yesterday. We'll play this Asante Samuel thing. Do you have it? We just play it now. We'll get this out of the way here. Asante Samuel Sr., who has a podcast, apparently.
And has nothing to do with the Dolphins at all.
No, he does not. He had these things to say about the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins had no reason to trade Jalen Ramsey other than they're sensitive. There's no leadership in the Dolphins organization. Mike McDaniels is a pushover. Chris Greer, the general manager, he has no backbone. These guys over here, the Miami Dolphins, they are running this team like a little league team. No one can stand up to the players. They're terrified of their own players, and they have no control over their players.
There you go. Now, he, again, has no inside info on this at all. We'll have Omar with us later in the week, get his take. We had Kyle earlier, his take on that.
He was kind of reacting to talk of his son, Asante Samuel Jr., possibly joining the Dolphins because now they lost Jalen Ramsey.
A real nice way to set him up for success.
What happens if he does end up having to play with us, or does end up signing with us? It's like, oh.
Well, I think now you probably can't do it, right? I mean, that seems like, hey, we don't want to be here. You know, you can't have that.
Runs like a little league team, and they're scared of their players. Scared. Mike McDaniel's ducking Tyreek Hill in the hallways. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the whole Mike McDaniel has no backbone and pushover and all that stuff. Chris Greer, you can say what you want about Chris Greer. He's done a very poor job managing the talent on this team. They just have not been able to get over the hump with him at the helm. And I don't know that that's going to change this year. If I was a betting man, I certainly wouldn't think so. I don't think they're set up for success this season.
For most of the season last year, I said Stephen Ross is probably embarrassed because at the beginning of the year talked to Kim Bocamper on television and publicly stated this is a Super Bowl or bust team. And with the way this team acted this year, I can't see how he doesn't do something like fire Chris Greer or fire Mike McDaniel. And then you see him give Mike McDaniel the game ball, that San Francisco game.
Yeah.
And you're like, nobody's going anywhere. It doesn't matter what happens against the Jets. And sure enough, as terrible as we were against the Jets and the circus that that was, before you could even utter the words, you know, wonder what's going to happen to Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, they already had the press release released, and you knew right away. Okay.
That was a real shot at the fans, by the way. The fans took that very, very
hold
badly.
Hold it back a little bit. Give it some time.
Yeah, right? I mean, at least
nice
make us think that you took some time to really mull this decision over.
It was a tough
decision.
We stayed up late last night speaking man-to-man at a table and woke up this morning and I decided, you know what, after that, nope.
By the way, the last game of the season was a disaster.
It was ugly as anything.
Tyreek Hill quit. He Jimmy Butlered us in that game. That press conference, by the way, that's an underrated press conference as far as like epic, you know, media interactions go. If you watch that press conference with Tyreek Hill at the end of after the Jets game, the end of the season, he's doing a good job.
He's holding it together
for like 2 minutes straight. He's like saying all the right stuff.
He's in this little hallway. And
then all of a
area.
Sudden, like something like snap. Went off, and he was like, I quit. I can't do this anymore. I'm out.
Yeah.
Screw this.
You could see.
What happened? Something like clicked in his brain where like all of a sudden he was doing so well.
You could see he was on the edge. You could see he was aggravated. You could see he didn't want to be there. And then all of a sudden he had a loss of words. He goes, yeah, look, I'm out. And it's just like, wait, what happened there? He was almost there. So close. And it wasn't like they were even poking and prodding at him. Remember, we were talking to Omar, like somebody asked him a very casual question, like, you know, let's just say something innocent, like, I guess it's back to the drawing board for next year, you know. Next year starts now, and he just.
Yeah. Let me clarify something here, because this guy says what you don't subscribe to is what everyone is subscribing to. That's the problem. You can't cover up the problem. I am not saying that Mike and or Chris are not the problem. Mike was a huge problem last season. Play calling was a disaster. That offense was a wreck. Right? Now, a lot of that goes on to Chris, too, because the offensive line sucked. The quarterback situation was a disaster.
Yeah, depth was terrible.
I mean, you were literally calling teams to poach practice squad guys.
And then start them.
Like, we're getting guys that aren't even on, essentially on a roster. They're on a practice squad, right? So it was a complete mess last year. The Skylar Thompson thing, that goes to personnel. That's Chris's department. The fact that the offense just could not score points ever last, like especially the second half of that season, that goes on your head coach. So I do think those guys are a massive part of the problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mike is some spineless loser that's out there like the players just running all over him. Like, I don't think he's like, I don't want to put spineless loser and Joe Philbin in the same thing because like
you can.
Joe Philbin's a nice guy. But like, you saw Joe Philbin on Hard Knocks. Like, he didn't exactly fit the mold. Mike McDaniel, like, he gets in front of his team and he addresses his team the way a coach should. Like, I don't think anyone's going to deny that. Is he a little bit different?
Yeah.
In his approach? Yeah, he is.
At least he's not Mark Trestman addressing the team from the back of the locker room.
Yeah, he's younger. He's different. I get it. And there's a lot of old school people that aren't really buying into what he's selling. But I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is what happened on the field last year.
Yeah.
Play call. You want to get on him for play calling? Great.
Yep.
But I don't know, this whole spineless backbone, you know, there's no leadership. Everyone's a pushover. I don't know, man. I don't know that is the issue. I think the issue is you don't have any talent on your football team.
You don't have
a well-constructed team. You don't have a vision. Like, and again, I keep going back to this with the Dolphins. If I asked you what the Dolphins did well on either side of the ball, I don't know that you'd have an answer for me, Dan. That's the problem right now. And maybe, you know, 2 years ago you could have said, yeah, you know, they have that, you know, gimmicky offense with the, you know, the motions, and they throw deep to Tyreek and Jalen and that kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe you had some sort of an identity then. But last season you had no identity as a team. This year, I don't know what they do well right now. I mean, your hope is that the offensive line is going to be better so that you can have some sort of running game so you can get these guys open downfield. That's the idea.
I think you spoke to it yesterday. They seem like they don't have any foresight. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to be a fast team and we're going to, you know, be really good on offense. Well, how's that going to work when injuries happen and it gets cold at the end of the season? We'll just be fast. It seems like they just don't have enough foresight. It's just like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. Not taking any factors of anything else that's going to happen.
Like, here's the other thing. Jalen Ramsey is 30 years old, okay? Been in the league. He's going into his 10th season into the league. Okay, it's not Mike McDaniel's job to, you know, soothe this guy's ego and make sure that he's happy and all this other stuff. Like, these guys are pros, man. Why is Jalen Ramsey get let off the hook here for being the D-bag that he was? Why does he get let off the hook? Why is it the Dolphins are so weak? Like, there's two. It takes two to tango here, right? Like the Jimmy Butler thing. Because I think they're like the same person, essentially.
Kind of did the same things.
They did do the same things. So, Jimmy Butler, like, there were two sides to that story. And you could take a side if you want. The Heat mismanaged that badly.
I agree.
And Jimmy Butler didn't handle it particularly well either.
I agree with that.
Right? Like, the Heat, if they didn't want Jimmy on the team, they should have got rid of him before the season started. You should not have let that drag into the season, because you had to have the vision and the foresight to know that he was going to not be happy here.
Yeah.
I don't care what he said publicly at training camp or at media day or whatever.
Which he showed up too
this
late.
And after Riley ripped him, right? You had to know. You had to have the vision to say, all right, this is just not going to work. But what we can't allow this guy to do is start the season here, go through the season, start dogging it, and essentially kill his trade value.
And also, right? Really, really mess with your team a lot.
But it takes two, man. There's always two sides to these stories. Yeah. So, like, I don't think that Mike or Chris should get all the blame for this, but do they get a lot of it? They gave the guy the extension he wanted, but Jalen Ramsey got to take a lot of the blame for this too, man.
I mean, you go to Jalen Ramsey, don't show up late. I'll do what I want to do. We're going to fine you. Fine me. I don't care. What else can you do? Send the police to his house to make sure he shows up on time? No. I mean, there's a point to both sides.
It was a bad situation. And you know what? I'm guessing Jalen Ramsey is going to be in more bad situations.
Because he's got a history. Jimmy and him have a history, and they have an expiration date, and the expiration date will come up.
Jimmy's in a real nice honeymoon phase right now with the Warriors, right?
We'll find out.
And we have that down here, too.
It was great.
It started to go downhill, and when it goes downhill quick.
It's over.
With those guys. The 9 o'clock hour, that's coming up quick here on QAM. It's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.